They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Fairfax Radio. Joining us today, we have Nick Leggett. Nick is a multi-talented and multifaceted person, and we're going to learn a lot about Nick over the next hour. So I hope you get comfortable and sit down and relax because this is going to be an interesting show. But I have to tell you, back in 2001, I think, the Washington Post did an article on the show. And Nick was one of the people who contacted me then. And he's one of the few people that I have kept in touch with or who's kept in touch with me over the years. And Nick has done a lot in educating me about what's really important. And for that, Nick, I thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You have got so many passions and accomplishments, and so tell us a little bit about what you've done and how you got there.
Okay, well, at the moment, I'm a retired citizen who's very active in various regulatory dockets, rulemaking processes at the FCC and other government agencies. And so I spend a lot of my time filing documents with them, essentially representing the little guy, the little citizen who may be getting stepped on in some of these agencies. I guess my biggest achievement in that regard was I was involved with Don Shelhart, who's also been on your show.
Yes.
And we proposed to the FCC a low-power radio broadcasting service for communities. And we got it. It took 7 years of hard work and a lot of good allies, but it was accomplished. But that's the kind of thing I'm involved with, is a lot of regulatory items. I'm also an inventor, and for many years I was a technical writer with a big telecom organization. And I'm sort of a self-taught technologist. I have taken a few courses, but most of my knowledge is self-taught.
Well, at the time when you first called me, one of the things you talked about was ham radio, and at the time I just sort of shrugged it off and thought, yeah, Nick, there are a lot of problems out there, ham radio being the least of it. But one of the things that you educated me about was the fact that it was a safety issue, and that with associations just multiplying like rabbits, and with all the rules and regulations against the antennas, what we were doing was just really harming ourselves ultimately.
Yes, and the ham radio does provide a lot of emergency communication capability, but you have to have some sort of antenna. And especially in this area, antennas are just about against the law. And so AM radio is very limited in what it can do. You can carry around a portable device that's short range for emergency communication, but a lot of the heavy-duty ham radio isn't available if you don't have some sort of antenna. And so, again, Don Shelhart and I were involved with that issue a lot over the years, as you know.
One of the things, it's interesting because you're one of the few people, or you're one of the many people who contacted me then, but a number of people who contacted me were ham radio operators, frustrated that they were not allowed to use their radios because of the antennas.
Yeah, well, I'm one of them. I haven't been on the air with a big station, with a long-range station, for many years now. I live in Reston, and Hamlet radio antennas or any outdoor antenna is prohibited. And so I didn't want to get in a big battle with a condo, and so I've been off the air for all that time.
Now, when you called me and when a number of people called me and you were talking about not being allowed to get on the air and the frustrations that ham radio operators had, I didn't really get too excited about it, except that not too long after that 911, I realized exactly where ham radios would come in, because all forms of communication were down. Cell phones were jammed, phones were not working, people couldn't reach their loved ones. They didn't know where anybody was or where everybody was. And at the time, the only people who might have been able to get out there and provide any kind of assistance would have been the ham radio operators, right?
Yes, that's true. And there are other possible emergencies where that would also be true. Earthquake, hurricanes, a possible solar storm where the electric power is dropped by a solar storm event. There are a bunch of things that can disable large areas of the country in terms of communications. And it's interesting to note that the Army is running tests with what they call the MARS system, Military Affiliate Radio System.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a test simulating a failure of U.S. communications across the country.
Oh, really?
And the MARS system consists largely of amateur radio operators who have volunteered to provide service to the Army Communications. And so, here's an official, drill test involving widespread communications failures, and with amateur radio operators operating as MARS operators, operating under the system, providing the communications. So this is a real deal, and I think it's just unfortunate that the Homeowners Association can't adjust to even sort of modest antennas. I'm not talking about a 100-foot tower here. I'm talking about, something small hidden in the trees, or something small hidden under the eaves of a house, or something like that. I'm willing to go more than halfway on the aesthetics, but they don't like that either. And so you can't provide the service.
So, but it is a service, and it is a safety issue.
Yes, it is.
And it's something that is not available to us anymore.
No, it is. In many parts of the country, it's really not available. And hams have tried to bring this issue up with the FCC, and the FCC says, we don't want to touch it. If you can get Congress to pass a law for you, fine, but otherwise we're not going to touch it. So the FCC has just, washed their hands of the whole issue.
So the FCC won't touch it, and Congress, obviously...
Congress can't do anything. They can't even pass a budget. So the hope in them is pretty slim.
Tentacle in house.
as we know, they're not doing anything up there. But the FCC, that's supposed to be their job, is to regulate communications, and they won't even say to the homeowners associations, look, you should allow at least modest antennas.
So what happened? The OTARTS doesn't cover it, the over-the-air, the satellite dishes. At the time, the satellite companies went to Congress or went to the FCC and got satellite dishes exempted, but
But that's just for satellite.
That's just for satellites.
Not ham radio.
Now, I've heard from people, and they've been very creative, and I've heard from people who've said that they hid one in an umbrella stand. They had one that was attached to the downspout of a gutter, so they're not visible.
There are various people who tried things, you know, like what a spy would use, you know, a hidden antenna, and they sometimes work and sometimes don't. But if any of your neighbors catch you at it and squeal on you to the condo association or whatever, you're in trouble. People have been sued over this kind of thing, as you know.
Yeah.
And so the spy special kind of antenna that's hidden in the flower pot or whatever is a very partial solution on this.
So tell me something. One of the issues that I might have had with them is the interference that they created. But that's no longer an issue, right?
Well, the equipment's well made. I mean, the commercial equipment that people get is well made. And interference is very manageable as an issue. And hams in general are very cooperative, and so if an interference issue does come up, it can be solved pretty quickly. Generally, if you're running fairly low power and your antenna's not right on top of the neighbors or something, you're not going to have a problem. And so the interference is a low impact issue. And so, you know, you can go ahead and live as neighbors without a big problem. It's where the problem is this aesthetics regulations where any antenna is considered horribly ugly, regardless of what its architectural design is, regardless of what its size is or its height. And at one point, Don Shellhart and I suggested to the FCC, you know, specific regulations for condos and all, where the size of the antenna would be small and it would be painted the same color as the building, et cetera, et cetera. And they had no interest.
That's really a shame, because if you can't see it, then it comes down to just bloody-mindedness on the part of the condo or the HOA, because it's not always condos. In a condo, you could say, all right, well, it's not on, you know, it's not on your property, but in an HOA, usually it is in your property.
Yeah, and there's a question of, you know, do you really want to buy property where you don't have any effective control over it? You were talking about, you know, some of the HOAs were saying kids couldn't run around and be kids.
Oh, yeah, no, there's we're going to get into that.
You know, this is getting crazy. I mean, I think it's a cultural problem, part of it, and in the United States, people just don't want to be bothered or whatever, but I think it's a very broad problem. But it's certainly caught the ham radio operators right in the middle. They've been in this issue for decades.
Well, you called me up that day, or we ended up talking. We've communicated quite a bit. But as I said at the top of the hour, you educated me first of all about ham radios, and we've kind of covered that. But you said something to me, and at the time I also shrugged it off because it hadn't become quite so obvious. But it's something that over the years I have thought a lot about. And you talked about what this is doing to the children. You talked about growing up and learning how to build things and create things in your backyard.
Yeah, it's when I was a kid, well, we lived out in suburban Westchester County, New York. Is about 50 miles from New York City, and there weren't any of these regulations. And we lived on a large rental property, and you know, I did all sorts of stuff. The backyard was an area for a safe adventure as a kid. And my father and I, we built a road out of concrete for my toy cars. I mean, it's like 2 feet wide, you know, model scale. And we had a concrete bridge over the road and all this kind of stuff.
That sounds kind of neat, actually.
Yeah, and you know, we were out there together, and we built this thing, and we built the concrete bridge, and we poured the concrete. The form collapsed on the bridge, and we had to prop it up and fix it. And so, you know, these homeowner associations will have real heartburn with that. But it was a major thing, and I remember, you know, I must have been, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old, and I still remember it vividly. You know, it was a neat experience. And you're saying to kids now, well, you can't have a treehouse, or you can't have our little road that we made out of concrete, or you can't have a, you know, old fort or whatever. Well, this is the backyard is where imaginations are built.
And your imagination was built there because you went on to have several patents to create different things.
Yes, I have 3 patents, 2 on hovercraft vehicles and 1 on a data signaling system for computers.
Do you think that would have happened if you hadn't had that backyard experience growing up?
Probably not as much, because the backyard was freedom, you know, and I could do pretty much everything in there. And nowadays the kids are stuck watching the TV or video games or something, and instead of creating your own stuff. See, in the backyard you could create your own stuff, and you know, and have little rubber band powered airplanes or whatever, you know, have your own stuff going on. And nowadays the kids are consuming other people's stuff. TV broadcasts, video games, structured play, and whereas the backyard used to be unstructured, if you wanted it to be the sands of Mars, you could, or cowboys and Indians, or I had a pedal powered bulldozer at one point.
A pedal powered bulldozer?
Yeah, it was like one of those pedal cars.
Yeah.
But it was a bulldozer. It had real metal tracks, you know, on the sprocket wheels. It worked, and it steered like a bulldozer. It was like a baby bulldozer, but it was pedal powered, and you sit on it and you could clank around. I loved that thing. I rode that for years. I started to outgrow it, so I took the back of the seat off so I could still fit in it. And that was another backyard activity, you know, and I'd go clambering over the grass and the driveway and everything, and it was great fun.
And did any of this affect your neighbors in any way?
No, because it was almost semi-rural. I mean, the nearest neighbor was, I don't know, 600, 700 feet away. I mean, a fair distance.
So suppose your neighbor wasn't that far away.
It wouldn't have been a big impact because, well, my bulldozer didn't have a motor.
So it was just basically pedaling around like you would on a bike.
Yeah, it was like a bike, except that tracks. It looked like a bulldozer, bright orange. It looked the roll of that.
Oh my God, that sounds like waving a red flag in front of a bull. You know.
Well, it was funny. The tracks really worked, and you'd steer it by pulling one lever, and that would stop one track, and then the other track would keep going, and then you'd turn. That's just the way a big bulldozer does it. And so, you know, I did that, and you know, my sister had a horse, and you know, we had a lot of things going.
So it was pretty much a learning experience for you.
Oh yeah, it was great fun. At one point I had a little telescope, you know, and I could look at the mountains on the moon and that kind of stuff. And there are a whole bunch of activities that I did in the yard. The yard was home. It was freedom. There wasn't any committee telling me I couldn't run around and be cowboys and Indians.
Well, you said it was a safe adventure, and
yes.
I think that probably those two words do an extremely good job of creating an image of what it was like for you as a kid. Nowadays, kids' property has shrunk. We don't have the yards. We don't have the safe adventure. We don't have the backyard freedom that you were talking about.
Well, I think it was a tragedy. I mean, my sister had a nice tree house up in a big tree. It was fairly high. It sort of scared me to climb up there. I'll tell you, it was way up in the air.
Oh, and really?
It was fairly high. It was over a story high. It may have been a story and a half or so. It was pretty high, especially for a kid. And so, you know, that's just part of childhood. If you just say to kids, you have to be indoors and you have to be watching a screen, I feel sorry for them.
Well, you know, that's pretty much it. I mean, kids can sit and watch TV or play with, play with electronic gadgets. Now, the gadgets are really cool, but there's something missing. There's the exercise, there's the freedom, there's the running around, there's learning how to connect and play with other people. This solitary sitting in front of a boob tube is just not a good thing.
No, I think it's horrible, and I think that a lot of, I've heard from educator friends and all that they think it's horrible, and there's real questions about it, that this is not a good thing to do to kids and all, you know, and kids would bike all over the place and all that kind of stuff, and now it's really quite restricted, and I just think it's too bad. America is going to lose a lot, because you're going to need creative and independent people to bring in new innovations and inventions into the economy, new products, new artwork, and so forth. And if kids are learning from the start that they're not supposed to make anything, they're just supposed to be consumers, that's bad. There's a friend of mine who's a teacher in the STEM program, the science, technology, and engineering and mathematics, you know, the seventh grade, teaching seventh grade. And he found that a lot of his students at a particular school, which I won't mention, but it's a Fairfax school, could not use a ruler. Just a simple process of measuring something with a regular, you know, plastic ruler. They could not use it.
Why?
And he said a lot of these kids weren't building anything. They had, you know, all the iPhones and, you know, all the gizmos. They didn't know how the gizmos worked. They never built an electric thing or an electronic thing. They were users. They were capable users of the technology, but they didn't understand technology at all, even at a, you know, an elementary level. And I just found it astounding that they had trouble with a ruler.
What does that say about our future, Nick?
I think the future of this economy is pretty limited, and it goes beyond the problems in Congress now. It's a cultural problem. We're not encouraging, you know, the Wright brothers of tomorrow or whomever, you know. We're not encouraging creativity. We're not encouraging it in the arts, and we're not encouraging it in the sciences and in technology. And so there's going to be a shortage of these people. And so our position as a great power is going to be pretty limited.
Well, what about healthcare? Because one of the aspects of a healthy life is exercise, running around, playing.
Well, and you have kids sitting around and they're going to get, you know, diabetes or something. I mean, or overweight, or, you know, there's a bunch of health problems, and the doctors can go on and on about that.
But what about the doctors? If they've never been allowed to be out there and to experiment and to try things and to test things, how can they be creative and come up with cures for all the diseases that we're going to get? Because we're just putting all these kids on a shelf and saying, stay there until you're an adult and can go out and fend for yourself.
Yeah, well, they may not be there in the future. I raised one question that was in an SEC filing, and I had a lot of fun with this one. I said, what would have happened in a sort of an alternative future if in the 1920s and the 1930s we had had homeowner associations which prohibited the early radio people from experimenting and working with radio? And I said, you would have had a problem. You would have had fewer engineers, less progress in radio and technology and so forth. And you might have wound up losing World War II You know, let's look at consequences. Consequences are my game. I'm interested in the consequences and what happens when you do things. Well, if you prohibited antennas in the 1930s, which fortunately we didn't, you might have, you know, had so few radio operators and radio engineers and radio technology that the Axis powers, you know, Germany and Japan and all, might have defeated us. I mean, they went pretty far as is. But we had all sorts of engineers and radio operators. The ham radio operators alone just went to war right off, and so they were right there, trained, ready to go. Well, what if we had suppressed that because we had HOAs suppressing, you know, the backyard technology? We might have lost that war and be speaking German now, looking at pictures of the old Fuhrer.
That sounds really disgusting.
Well, consequences can be bad.
Yeah, consequences can be bad.
And if you're saying you're going to suppress all the future technologists who, you know, would start out flying a little model plane in the backyard or something, and you say, oh, no, that's horrible, you can't do that. And so they go off and do something else, become advertising people or something. Then you're not going to have a lot of technologists in the future. And we have a lot of competitors, and they're going to run right over us.
We're talking to Nick Leggett. You're on the Commons. I'm Shu Bartholomew, and we're on Radio Fairfax. And we're talking about the restrictions in condos and HOAs that affect children, and what are the long-term consequences of what we're doing right now? Do we realize what we're doing? And I think Nick and I both agree that this is probably doesn't bode well for the future, right, Nick?
Yeah, I don't think it does. I think there's a whole bunch of things that don't bode well for the future. And I think this issue is part of a set of cultural problems where America's just getting, you know, down on and sort of suppressing individualism and achievement and it's starting in the backyard.
When my daughter was a little girl, there was they had these coloring books. It was the no coloring book.
Oh.
And it didn't have, you know, coloring books typically have drawings and you color inside the lines.
Right.
And these coloring books didn't have the lines. These coloring books had stories and they had semi-pictures. But the idea was that the kid would use their own imagination to actually draw. And
so she would draw an illustration of whatever the event was.
She would fill in. Yeah, the kids would fill in what was supposed to be there. Not that, you know, here it is and here are the lines and don't you dare go outside the lines. This book encouraged them to go outside the lines.
That's clever. Do they still have that?
I haven't seen one. I haven't seen one in a long time. We seem to have gone the other way.
I think we really have. For example, you know, kids used to, when I was a kid, I built a little simple, real simple, like shortwave radio. It was one little tube and, you know, a few other parts. And a lot of kids who were interested in radio did that. Nowadays, people don't do that kind of thing. Well, partly because you can't put up an antenna for the
you can't have a radio. You can't have an antenna.
Yeah, because
right?
You know, I can't have an antenna. But people used to build a lot of stuff. And now, you know, they use commercial stuff. And it just, there's that loss of that, you know, building something yourself, designing it yourself, you know, determining what you want to do, or... All right, kids would build those, you know, race cars that work by gravity, you know, and so there used to be all sorts of competitions for that, and that's sort of faded. And anything where you're doing it yourself is really sort of being suppressed. You know, kids used to be able to build a little playhouse in their backyard.
Nope, can't do that. Bring down property values.
Or fort, or a little fort, or something, you know, some kind of
tree houses.
You know, tree houses. All these sort of things they would build
ramps so that they could skateboard.
Yeah, it just seems to me if you've outlawed, you know, a lot of the stuff, where's our freedom?
Nick, would you believe that we're starting with two-year-olds? You buy them chalk. You can go to the grocery store and you can buy chalk.
Right.
And the kids are going to be outdoors in the summertime.
Right.
And would you believe that some associations have gone so far as to ban sidewalk chalk because it's a quote-unquote nuisance?
I've heard that. I read that in the press.
I mean, there's all over the country. It's not just one. It's more than one association that's gone absolutely off the deep end because kids have used chalk on the sidewalk.
It's going to wash away. You can even take a hose and wash it away.
But isn't that the creative
bit? It just seems to me, I think these homeowner associations are very powerful, and one of their impacts is going to be damaging the United States of America. And I think it's going to be a real problem because we're going to come around 30 years from now, and you're not going to have all this innovative, capable labor that you thought you would have, and we're going to get shellacked. I mean, the Chinese are going to the moon. We bagged it. We're not going to the moon again. I mean, according to NASA, now I think they're out of their minds, but anyhow. And so there's a difference here. I think America's checking out of the future, and I think America's going to break up in 30 years. I don't think there's going to be an America. It'll be, you know, the Confederation of New England and the old Confederacy or whatever. I think there's going to be a breakup because I think we're losing the horsepower that we had.
Nick, it's as obvious as anything to you. It's obvious to me and to a number of people. Why is it not obvious to the rest of the country, or is it obvious? Is this accidental, or is this by design?
Well, I think there's a bunch of things. I think that some people recognize it, and they say, I can't do anything about it because you're fighting City Hall, or worse than City Hall, these private governments have more power than the
But you know what? There's more of us than there are of them. I mean, to say you can't fight them is a defeatist attitude.
Yeah, but they have the lawyers and the budgets.
Yeah, but we have the people.
Yeah, well, I agree. I fought, you know, City Hall and got the low-power FM broadcasting service with a lot of allies, but it was a bunch of citizens. You know, we had a budget of like $200, and our opponents had a budget of several million, literally, because the big boy broadcasters didn't want us to have that.
You see, this is where the imagination comes in. Think outside the box. Don't go down the same road because you're going to run into the same stumbling blocks. Think outside the box, be creative, and come up with a different solution.
Well, I think another problem with the U.S. is there's sort of this nasty view that, you know, it's almost like, you know, that anyone who's sort of nonconformist is bad news. They don't want to be bothered by it. They don't want to be bothered by kids running around and whooping like wild Indians. They don't want to be bothered by some neighbor who has a ham station or some sort of experimental stuff. They don't want to be bothered. They're overstressed and sort of unhappy, and they just don't want to be hassled. And they view the nonconformist as a hassle. I think that's what a lot of it is. And then you have, on the other side, you have the banks who want to, you know, play with property values, and so we'll make everything look like a postcard, you know, development, and that will increase the property values. And so that's another
But it
factor.
Doesn't. It doesn't. It,
it
decreases.
Doesn't really, but that's what they think. They believe that.
It decreases.
Hearts.
Okay. Health-wise, imagination-wise, we're killing it. Kids are just not learning how to use their imaginations, not learning how to think creatively, not learning how to think outside the box, not learning how to find solutions to problems because they just don't run into that many problems sitting on the couch, right?
Yeah. I think it's, I'm so glad I grew up when I did, because I had a lot more fun than these kids.
You had more fun, I had more fun, but these kids are going to take care of us when we're old.
Well, maybe not.
I know.
Maybe not. I'm not counting on that. I'm on Social Security, and they're saying next month they're not going to send the checks out. So,
oh, dear.
Hey, you know, fortunately my wife has a good job. You know, I'm not counting on anything. Because I think that the U.S. has gotten to a notion where it's me first and me only.
But
and
the
they don't want to be bothered.
The thing is that throughout history, you've sort of built on what you have, and you've grown, and you've moved forward. We seem to be stagnant.
Oh, I think we are.
We seem to be stagnant, and I think what we're doing is stopping the kids, or stopping tomorrow, right here in its tracks, before we even get there.
Oh, I agree with that, and I think I'll probably live to see the impact of it. It's not going to be nice. You know, I just think, yes, I think we're cutting off a lot of the outlets that kids had, or young people had, to do things and to get into things. We're making it's harder and harder to participate in things. And it's almost like society wants everyone to go and watch the tube or the internet or something and leave me alone. You know,
that's how you brainwash people.
Well, here we are.
That's how you brainwash people. You don't have to think for yourself. Your thinking is done for you. Don't go outside. Don't play. Don't run around. Don't meet new friends. Don't create anything. Don't try new things. Just go sit in front of the boob tube, because we will be able to brainwash you that way.
Yeah, well, they'll try it, and I think it's a fool's errand, because I don't think it's going to work. I think that you need, in a modern economy, and it was funny, the Soviet Union started to discover this before they crashed. They need independent thinkers to do the software programming for them, as well as everything else, you know. And if you just have, you know, sort of obedient types, they're not going to be very productive.
Sheep.
And so I think they're going to find the future is a frightening place. It'll be like one of those science fiction stories. And I think that's going to happen.
We have associations that have banned all outdoor activity. Children are not allowed to be outdoors at all.
Oh, where do they go?
They're inside. They have to stay inside now.
They banned all outdoor activity. This is the land of the free, of the brave?
Yeah, and
I mean, come on.
They banned outdoor activity. Then another one took it a step beyond. Kids are not allowed to be outside. Not only can you not have outdoor activity, but you are not allowed to be outside if you're a kid. Some associations don't want kids in the pool.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. I mean, I'm not a lawyer. You'll have to ask Don or something, but it's essentially saying you can't have kids, almost. It seems to me that brings in some legal, you know, constitutional things.
But you see here, it's such an ingenious plan, because the whole thing is allegedly based on contract law. You agreed. This is what you agreed to when you bought into this.
Yeah, see, it's a better tyranny than the public government, because a public government like a town or a county or something can't do this kind of stuff.
Oh, the public governments are following suit as well. They're deciding, well, if HOAs can get away with it, why can't I?
Well, they have a different constraint on them. They're much more under the constitutional.
They are, but you still have to. Yeah, you still have to go to court to fight it out. Which is why I say, you know, you can't. You're not going to be able to battle all of this stuff in court. There's just not enough time, enough judges, enough courts, enough money. Enough anything except lawyers. I mean, there are enough of them to handle the whole lot. But the thing is, do we necessarily need to go through all of that? Why don't we just say, look, You know, we've got kids, and kids have a right to be outdoors. I don't care about your rules. My kids are going to be outside playing. I pay for the pool. My kids have a right to use the pool.
You know, I just find that it's just getting weirder and weirder. And my reaction is, in some areas, it's very, as you know, it's very hard to get any property without these constraints on it. And some places are a bit better, like New England. And I suspect what's going to happen is people are going to vote with their feet after a while.
But the thing is, how do you vote with your feet when there's nothing, nowhere to go? That's the big problem. A lot of, in Fairfax County, the estimate, because no one seems to want to get actual numbers, but the estimate is that over 90% of all Fairfax County housing is under some form of controlled living, whether it's an HOA or a condo or a fewer co-ops, but, you know, even a couple of them still around.
Well, it's an interesting question I have, is what happens when the only adventure left is crime?
We're there. We're there, Nick.
I mean, it's not going to last.
We're
there. I mean, eventually society will come unstuck in one nasty way or another. If you say the only adventure left is crime, and if you say to the new generation, the kids and the adolescents and all, the only way you can do anything other than this sort of package plan is a crime of one sort or another, well, then you're in trouble. And I noted with great interest how quickly the Soviet Union fell. There wasn't a big war. There wasn't a battle of Reds versus the Whites or something like that. Instead, it just collapsed. It lost legitimacy. I think that's going to happen in the United States of America. I'm willing to debate that on any media anywhere in the world. I think the U.S. is losing legitimacy. I look at Congress now, it certainly doesn't have much legitimacy. And I think that, you know, they're going to get to the position where more and more people are going to be more and more frustrated, and someday it's going to come unraveled like the Soviet Union. And we're going to have separate nations, you know, the Republic of California or whatever, you know. I think that's going to happen because the U.S. isn't acting like a nation anymore.
We're talking to Nick Leggett, and we're here on Radio Fairfax in the Mosaic District in Fairfax County. It's a newly gentrified Mosaic District, Nick. I don't know if you've been around here lately, but this was nothing but sort of a seedy industrial area, as the Washington Post termed it. But
where your station is?
Yes.
Yeah, it was seedy industrial, and I haven't been there. Oh, it must have been 10, 15 years ago.
Oh, well, if you came down now, you wouldn't recognize it. We've got some really Tony townhouses that are going for $700,000 next door. The whole place, all of the industrial stuff has been taken away. We've got upscale restaurants and markets and shopping, and everything is just really, really pretty. It's all part of the new smart growth.
Oh, walkable growth.
All the walkable growth. We've got towers and high-rises and condos and apartments, and it's just really packed. So there is no place for kids to play. There really and truly is no place for kids to play.
Well, I remember I spent part of my life growing up in New York City, and there wasn't much space there either. Part of my life I was in the deep burbs where we had plenty of space, and then the suburbs, but the part of it was in the city, and that was pretty limited.
But even in the city, I mean, I grew up in a city, but even in the city, you had more freedom, and you were able to go around and do things. I mean, I certainly did.
I did. I rode every mile of the New York subway. I took, I had a 8mm movie camera. I took movies on the subway. I traveled all around the city as a kid on my own. And But this kind of society that I see coming up isn't going to have that choice, even in the cities.
But you said a while ago the only adventure is going to be crime.
I think that will happen. I think it's going to be, I think the future in this country will be a science fiction nightmare. You can take all those science fiction stories about negative utopias and sort of blend them together, and that's what we're going to see. And there's going to be a lot of angry, antisocial people who are going to be frustrated at every turn, and they won't have a lot of regard for society, because society will have closed them out of everything. Everything's against the rules. Sort of Orwellian in that respect.
I keep coming back to, is this by design or is it by accident? If it's by accident, why is it so difficult to see what we're doing? If it's by design, why? What have we got? What have we got to gain by doing this?
I tend to try to avoid conspiracy theories. It gets a little hard when you read about the NSA spying on, you know, telephone users and everything, and so there is a lot of sort of conspiracy stuff in the national security area. I think one problem I do see is that there are a lot of people that work long hours and have long commutes. You know, the parents have long hours and long commutes. And so they don't have time for community activities. They don't have energy for community activities. They're working, you know, 9-10 hours at the office, and then they have a 3-hour commute or something. And so this is part of why your society is not attended to, is that people are out of energy. By the time you worked at some intense job, and then you have a long commute, you don't have a lot of energy left over for community or thinking about community. They don't want to be bothered. Literally, they're exhausted. They pour themselves in front of the TV and have a beer and go to sleep.
So you're saying we're just not really being good stewards of our own future?
No, we're terrible stewards of our future. And it goes beyond the physical environment. You know, ecology being screwed up, but it goes to the social environment is not being attended to very well. And so what do people do? They hire an HOA to police their area. So you have this, you know, perhaps attractive-looking area that's fairly sterile, but they don't have the energy to deal with it. They can't even get to HOA meetings, much, even though that doesn't mean much anyhow.
Well, yeah, that's, so, you know, nobody, people don't go to HOA meetings because the HOA doesn't really want them there. They'll whine and complain that nobody comes. But when they go, they're thrown out, they're abused, they're beaten up, they're arrested. I'm not kidding.
Oh, I agree. I was on the parking committee over here. We have a parking problem. And I suggested having a sign, one assigned spot per condo unit for a car. So if you had two cars, you'd have one assigned spot for your car, and then you'd have, you'd be a free agent. You'd have to go for an open spot for the other car. Well, I was treated as if I was some sort of heretic or something. I mean, my gosh. And people said, well, that would be unsafe because then they'd have to park far from the building or something. Anyhow, I got sort of hung. And so I quit the committee.
Well, if you go to board meetings, I can't tell you how many people have contacted me and told me that they've been arrested for attending meetings.
Arrested,
and by local police departments.
Why?
Well,
what was the charge?
The board members didn't want them there. You go in and you repeatedly ask for financial information or ask some embarrassing questions. And allegedly, people have been thrown out and they've been arrested. Now, I've heard this story from too many people, essentially the same thing. from too many people in too many different parts of the country for it not to, you know, for me not to believe it. The first couple of times I thought, well, okay. But it's been happening more and more across the country. And the police, if you call the police and say, look, you know, this is my, whatever, if you have a problem with the HOA, they're going to tell you it's a civic matter. You go deal with it yourself. But if the HOA calls them and says, Nick is here and he's causing trouble and we can't have our meeting, they'll come and they'll arrest you. They might just handcuff you and sit you in the police car outside during the meeting so you can't participate.
Well, you know, there's a problem because there's no Bill of Rights for private action. See, these organizations are like a government in terms of their power, but there's no Bill of Rights or Constitution that constrains them.
Well, there's, you know, nobody gave up their rights. Did you sign away your rights when you joined? This is what they tell you. You don't have a right. It's civil. It's not, you know, blah, blah, blah. Nobody said, I agree that by moving into this condo, I give up all my rights. Somebody's going to tell me what I can say. Somebody's going to tell me what time I go to bed. Somebody is going to tell me what color I paint my front door. Somebody's going to tell me how many kids I can have. Seriously, I mean, did you sign that? I never agreed to that.
I agreed to that, and yet these people seem to have extensive power.
They do have a lot of power because we've let them get it.
Well, but also there's less legal constraint on it compared to a government. They act like governments. They have the power of a government, but they don't have the constraints that a real government has. And so you could call a micro-dictatorship, and that's basically right. And so that's for the lawyers. They have to deal with that.
The lawyers created this, Nick.
Well,
the lawyers created this. They love it because it gives them more money.
Well, I say, if you want a future that's like the future of the Soviet Union, go for it. Because at some point, you will have a legitimacy meltdown. What these people are doing in Congress is accelerating that era coming. Because people don't respect what Congress is doing right now. And so, you know, you want to create a situation where the citizen is stymied at every turn? Well, then eventually the legitimacy will go away, and there'll be some other kind of society. You may not like it, but there'll be another kind of society. And you may have to go through customs to go to Massachusetts or something. I don't know. But I think that things are going to change.
You don't even need a passport to travel around Europe. You're going to need to go through customs. Actually, you don't even go through customs in Europe. You go from one country to the next, and you're saying you need one. You're going to need one to go to Massachusetts. I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right.
That's the difference. Europe is uniting, and the U.S. is disuniting.
So going back to the kids, because that was the one thing that, although at the time I didn't see the writing on the wall, because the stories weren't coming out at the time, you know, we didn't have quite the internet that we have, and, you know, the stories were not quite out there, but you recognized that right from the very beginning. And that was one of the things that I never forgot, that what we're doing is we're just really not taking care of our kids.
No, we're not. We're doing them a disservice, a major disservice.
And the point that you're making is that it's going to have long-term effects.
You betcha. I'm sure of that. I'm sure of that. There was a study that just came out. It was in the Post yesterday, I guess. And it's funny that the Post Express has this headline, A Bunch of Dummies. And then they say, we're not talking about Congress. American adults lag way behind their international peers. And so we're already seeing the consequences happening on this. But what I'm saying is that it's going to go beyond that and be even nastier consequences. And of that, I'm pretty confident. Now, I'm not, you know, I can't say what specifics are going to happen, but I think nasty things will happen as the legitimacy goes down and as the surveillance goes up. And, you know, all these things sort of add together. It's an ecology. And so if you're doing nasty stuff with surveillance and drones and all that kind of stuff, that's going to impact the equation just as if you're doing nasty stuff with HOAs.
I had a guest on, a psychologist, who said that he thought the future of HOAs, where HOAs would have drones that they could disguise as birds or stuff that would come and sit on your windowsill and look into your house.
Well, if anyone tries that with me, they're going to be in big problems.
Nick, thank you so much for joining us today. I really enjoyed talking to you, and please keep educating me. And
I'll keep in touch, because I'm actively involved with all these kind of issues, and I've been for decades, and I think that, you know, it's important to fight the battle. I think it's an uphill battle, but I think it's important to keep fighting it.
Well, we're getting as much stuff out there as we possibly can, so for that I thank you, and thank you everyone for tuning in. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.